We're going to talk about, are community health assessments still useful to the healthcare community? I have no disclosures. There was five of us that worked on this project. Greg Ebel and Nancy Strassel were from the Health Improvement Collaborative of Greater Cincinnati, who has done these assessments locally for years and years in Cincinnati. Terry Grundy with the, I'll stop for a second, I'm having a TIA up here, and Colleen Chabinski, who's with the Health Foundation. Anyway, all of us worked together because we wanted to know whether we needed to do keep doing these health assessments. Cincinnati had for years done a local health assessment, local community health assessment. This combined two things. One, going to national databases and pulling up data, and two, a local survey of a couple of thousand citizens of the greater Cincinnati area. So we combined both of those things together every 3 to 4 years or so, and we would come up with a community health assessment. And you can imagine that took some time, money, effort, publication cost. So we were trying to decide, is this worth doing again? Should we do it again or just blow it off? So we kind of said, well, what's out there? What do we have today? Well, of course, right as we're doing this, a wonderful thing, countyhealthrankings.org, with a huge amount of work. I don't know if any of y'all have been to their website. They rolled it out with great fanfare earlier this year. Came up with data on every county. I'm not sure I buy into their county rankings that are somewhat arbitrary, but their work here is phenomenal. If you ever need anything on any county, I recommend this website. The interesting thing is it's very much based on national databases, so there's nothing like the local surveys that we had in ours, so there's nothing about that. But if, as far as demographics and smoking rates and stuff, it's a very good source, and if you, when you go to their website, if you click on any of those things, it says exactly where it comes from, how it's developed per 100,000, and so on. So a great resource, but not done by region, done by county, and makes it a little bit harder to divide it up. Another source is with Health and Human Services, Community Health, which again does by counties and has some very good benchmarking data by counties of similar size, also by national data. So you can compare yourself. But neither one of these two websites, they're fantastic, and I wish I had been the one that did them. I would be up here bragging about myself. But neither one of these track over time right now. Now, maybe they're going to, but none of them say, well, in 1996 we were this, and 2000 we were this, and 2010 we're that, which I think is useful and is actually what we're looking to do with our most recent survey. The older one did it by the counties in the greater Cincinnati area, so of course, you know, I couldn't just go to one state to get data. We have to go to three states, and of course, everybody reports things differently. Some people do HIV, some people do HIV and AIDS, trying to find STD rates and so on. But we would report it, and then we would benchmark it against the states, the United States, and if it was an appropriate thing, we'd benchmark it against the Healthy People 2010. Okay, so how are we doing with that? So we had this, so we said, well, let's find out, here are the focus areas that we had, demographics, healthy behaviors, which would be things like, are you going to get a mammogram, are you getting your blood pressure checked, are you getting your diabetes checked, as opposed to behavioral health, which was smoking. It's kind of an interesting division, but that's the way it always been divided, so we kept it divided that way. But health utilization, health service utilization, are you happy with care? A lot of this came from the survey. So they would ask the 2,000 people, do you like the care you get? Do you like your doctor? Do you feel like you can get into a doctor? And questions along those lines, and which was quite useful. And again, especially since the same question had been used for years and years, we were able to track it over time. So our goal was to say, is it still useful? If it is, who's using it? And if you are going to use it, what do you want in it? Okay, so we kind of went out and did a survey. We did an online survey, again, for cost savings. To mail this out to people would be hard. And then we placed it on the websites of United Way. Thank you. My brain cells finally connected on who the other organization was. Sorry. But United Way and Health Foundation and Health Improvement Collaborative all put it on the website and said, listen, if you'd like to respond to this survey, we'd like to find out. So we gave them a list of 82 indicators, and I had students from my program go out into all the states in the United States online and look and find community health assessments. And they picked anything that was an indicator that even we didn't have in our current one and said, maybe people will want this. We aren't currently putting this in there, but maybe we should. Immunization rates weren't in our current one. Maybe we should be doing that. If respondents had used the report previously, we asked them how did they use it or what did they use it for, and we obtained some demographics on them and analyzed them with descriptive statistics. So we got 182 people responded back. Yes, you'd like a response rate. That's a hard thing to come up with. We know we had about 450 people that had gotten the survey previously. We don't have any idea how many of those emails were still good. Those people had moved on. So maybe we have a response rate in the 30 to 40% range, but it's hard to say because of the 117 and 159 that answered the question. We didn't do forced logic, so they could skip questions. That's the reason these numbers vary a little bit. But 117 or 73% had used the previous one. Okay. Interestingly, the most common response was the chief executive officer. And I think that's kind of interesting. I think it says a lot of these people are probably using it for planning of their major organization, their $100 million, $200 million organization. Physicians were number two, program directors, and nonprofit directors. So organizations that were utilizing it, hospitals were our biggest user, which was a little surprising to us, followed by nonprofits, followed by physician groups, and then public health and managed care. So I thought that was sort of a finding we weren't really expecting. Of course, when you ask people what data do they want everything. So I'm not sure this wasn't a loaded question, okay, but when we put it down, everybody wanted, 50% of the people or more wanted every indicator, you know, they checked almost every time, and most of them request about 70% more. So it didn't really give us the answer we wanted, which was, what can we throw out of this report? It would have probably been a better way to ask that question. And interestingly, as a side note, in our survey that we're doing, we just finished up a local survey again of a few thousand people in Cincinnati. In preparation for that survey, we finally did ask that question, and we went out and said, hey, we cannot do this survey that we've done in the past. We're going to have to do it by cell phone. Well, we can't do a long one by cell phone, so we had to throw things out. So we actually did ask it, so we cut it down a lot. The most requested ones, no surprise, demographics. Age, followed by obesity, a real big important thing today. What percent had cholesterol checked? What percent had availability of care? I think those are big important questions, and those come from our local surveys, okay, our local surveys of individuals in the greater Cincinnati area. How did they use the report? Planning. Planning is the number one reason. Again, people used it for multiple purposes, is why this just doesn't add up to 100%. But planning was number one, followed by policy making, then grant applications and marketing. So these people are using this a lot, and that's not surprising that demographics would be important. So what did we get from this? Well, we got the fact that we probably need to keep doing community health assessments. If you don't have the money, can't do it on a local level, don't have the money for a survey, you could probably use the county health rankings and get those counties. You're going to have to put it all together yourself, and we feel since Greater Cincinnati, all the hospitals are kind of going out after the same business in those 14 counties, that it's useful for us to do it as long as we're doing the local survey. So we have decided to do that. The other thing that we kind of figured out through all this was we need to be able to track it over time. And so in our newest survey, which will be out as soon as the Healthy People 2010 publishes, about 2 weeks after that, we've got all these holes in our website ready to go live. So once that benchmark is available, we're going to publish it, and we have it tracked over time. So we can say, oh, the smoking rate's going down, or the smoking rate's going up. The only thing that I would interestingly, on this is the numbers never agree with the national numbers. When we do smoking rates, the national numbers, the samples, I think, must be smaller. They have to be at the national level, the BRFSS and stuff like that. And we found the smoking rates to be much, much higher in our local surveys than they were otherwise. So I think if you have the time and the effort and money, do some community health local assessments for your greater, you know, the area you're serving, which is never just one county, or maybe it is occasionally, but not very often, and get some data out there for people to use as planning. All right.
Great. We have a little time for a few questions.
Yeah. That's a good question. You know, you can now do surveys via cell phone. The federal law was repealed, so it was a random generated cell phone. Then they called them, and I personally didn't do it. This was done by the Health Foundation. But they called them and said, would you be willing to participate? Yes, no. Okay, can we call you at a different time? Because this survey takes a little while to do. So unfortunately, you and I both hate having our cell phones ring. And of course, they took the this was part of the additional cost of the local survey now. Because of that, they had to take on the total cost. So it did not ring any cell time or air time against the person. There's a way to do that with the cell company. So no charge at all to the individual for participating in the survey. No, because we've done this. I think because this has been done for years now by us, nobody wants to bite off that and do it themselves. I think if there was a vacuum, these hospitals certainly are understanding they've got to be involved in population health to maintain their tax-exempt status. They've got to show they're benefiting the community. So they want this data much more than they ever had before. And I think if us as public health people aren't providing it to them, they're going to have to do it themselves. So I think we would rather control that and make it available. Yeah?
One of the concerns, we actually work with our hospitals and our community to do it, but has been the new health reform law that they have to do it every 3 years. So the cost of doing something major every 3 years, have you guys talked about alternatives, or are you doing it every 3 years? Or?
Well, yeah, what we did is we used cheap labor called students. Okay, and that's what that's part of what we changed in the model, and I didn't talk about it today, was I'm at the Health Administration Program, Xavier, and now one team of my students is now going to be assigned to revise and update that every single year, not every 3 years. But it sounds, oh my gosh, it's a lot of work. No, it's not. If you say, okay, we're going to create an Excel spreadsheet, we know exactly which website to go on Indiana's health department website to get the data for GC and chlamydia for this year. So it's built in, there's a whole set of instructions of, you need to update this Excel spreadsheet so that we produce a great graph, and it'll just add one more year, and at some point I'm sure we'll start dropping years off. The key on like that local survey, they're very expensive. They're hard to do. It's hard to get that. If you can do that, that's great. But you're not going to be able to do that for every 2, 3, 4 years because of the cost. Yeah?
In our health department, we've always been annually producing a health report card which pulls in all the data, the national data and stuff that I think you talked about. It sounded real similar to what you do with the rankings and looking at the 2010. I've always been reluctant to do local community assessments because we've had so limited resources, and in Kentucky, there's so many things that already tell us we rank last and more stuff than we got money to address anyway. I hate to spend money asking people to tell me things we already know. We know we're bad in teen pregnancy and smoking and cancer, and we got more than we can say grace over without asking somebody else. So what would be, I see the advantage of getting community groups together to help address the issues. I don't know that I see the benefit of asking them what they think the issues are, maybe educating them on what the data says.
Well, I think that you're right in some ways. You know, you got so many fish to fry, why do you need to figure out how many more fish you got to fry? But I think that with the community health assessment, for example, if you have chance to do the local survey of are you having problems with access to care, you know, then you might say that's a problem. Maybe the health department, Cincinnati is unusual in that it still has three, they're not FQHCs, but they're FQHC-like health department run clinics, okay? So if they see an access problem, they can help try to address that. It gets back to the same thing we all talk about. Data is useless unless you're going to do something with it. Just asking how many ducks are in the pond, if you're not going to do something with it, is probably of no value. If it's going to change something you're going to do, I think it'd be valuable. With the internet, you know, again, I don't know how many, what your internet level of penetration is in your area. I think it's always higher than, I'm amazed how high it is even in people with very low levels of education. You know, maybe having SurveyMonkey available ones on your website, you know, annually. Listen, you know, we're reaching out, we want to know what's important to you. But the only thing I would admonish you is make sure you develop the survey and ask the same questions every time. Otherwise, it becomes, I don't know where I am. I can't, it's hard for me to measure if I'm getting any better if I don't keep asking the same question the same way. Yes?
Last question.
So you had said that when you did the assessments yourself, you found the smoking rates were different than was reported on the national level?
Correct. Higher.
Do you think that there are discrepancies in other data that would be at the national? Did you find that?
There are some others, and I could talk to you about them, but I think it's a problem of sample size. You know, it's just we're doing 2,000 to 3,000 local people, and so I think we're probably getting a little more stable numbers. It may be it. I am not an expert on that, and I'm sure that someone from the CDC could tell me why that probably occurred, and I've not had a chance, unfortunately, to talk to them. Well, thank you very much.